Radio Krishna presents Stories from the Mahabharata, or the History of Greater India.
Today's story of the Mahabharata, Yudhisthira reigns in Hastinapur. After the war, Yudhisthira returned to Hastinapur to take up his position as emperor of the world. Try as he might, Yudhisthira was not able to forget the past. It was burning him day and night. When Dhritarashtra sent word to him through Sanjaya before the war, he had said that Yudhisthira, with his gentle nature, would repent for destroying his cousins for the rest of his life. He spoke the truth. The state of the king was causing them worry. Dhritarashtra, forgetting his own pain, tried to pacify Yudhisthira. Krishna, too, joined in the entreaties of the old king. Finally, it was possible to bring him back to a normal frame of mind. Yudhisthira then took up the task of ruling the kingdom with great sincerity, and he was acclaimed the ideal ruler. Everyone was happy under his rule. He won the heart of everyone with his sweet and compassionate nature. Arjuna and Lord Krishna spent their time in going back to the places where they used to walk together in the old days. They went to their beloved Indraprastha and spent several days there. It was pleasant to roam about the gardens and halls of the great palaces. They talked of all the many things which had happened since they last walked there. Lord Krishna said,
Arjuna, the war is over now. Your enemies have all been killed. Yudhisthira is the monarch of the Kuru kingdom. I had taken upon my shoulders this burden, and now the task is finished. My thoughts are turned towards my own kingdom at Dwarka now. I want to see my parents. I dare not ask your brother Yudhisthira for permission to go. You must first permit me to go, Arjuna. Then you can tell Yudhisthira about my wish. If he is willing to let me go, I will leave for Dwarka. If, however, he wishes me to stay on, I will. Yudhisthira's wishes mean more to me than my own, because he is my devotee. You are all able to help your brother to rule the kingdom. He has Vidura to counsel him, so my purposes are all served. I think it is time I go back home. Arjuna, first you please grant me permission to go.
Arjuna shed tears of sorrow at the words of Lord Krishna. Soon their great partnership was at an end. The inseparables, Arjuna and his charioteer, were to be parted. His heart was aching for the days of long ago to come back. Even if it meant reliving the war, he did not mind it. He wanted to recapture the thrill of those days when they would set out to the battlefield blowing their conch shells lustily. The 18 days of the war were the most thrilling in his lifetime. He and Lord Krishna would not be parted even for a moment. They were always together. And now he heard Krishna saying that his purpose was served. Arjuna remembered the day when his chariot was burnt. Lord Krishna had said that everything in the world was created for a purpose. Once that purpose was served, the world had no more need of it. But it was not so with Lord Krishna. He was needed. Arjuna would be lost without him. He could not say that his work was done, that his purpose was over, the purpose for which he had been born. Arjuna wept tears of anguish and said,
My lord, your purpose served? Please don't say that anymore. I cannot bear it.
Krishna laughed at him and said,
I did not mean to hurt you, Arjuna. I just meant the war when I said that. I know that you need me. More than that, I need you. I cannot live without you. Have you still not realized that you and I are inseparable, eternally? Half of my soul is Arjuna.
Arjuna was touched by the words of Lord Krishna. They sat in silence for a while. They were so fond of each other. It was not necessary to talk about it. They wandered into the mind of each other. After a long time, Arjuna agreed to allow Lord Krishna to go back to Dwarka on condition that he would come back very soon. And Lord Krishna smiled and said,
"Of course, I cannot stay away from my devotees for long. I will come back soon."
They returned to Hastinapur. These few days at Indraprastha were very happy days. Arjuna was happy they had gone to their old haunts together. In the morning, Arjuna and Krishna went to the chambers of Yudhisthira. They spent some time together there. Arjuna gently spoke about Lord Krishna's desire to return to his capital, Dwarka. The very mention of it brought tears to the eyes of Yudhisthira. He composed himself finally and said,
"Krishna, it is but right that you should wish to see your parents. I do not want to prevent you from going. But Krishna, how can we live without you? You are a part of me, and I cannot think of letting you go. But I must allow it, I suppose. I've got it. I'll send you on one condition. As in the days of old when we were at Indraprastha, you must come to me whenever I think of you. When I wanted you, you have always known it and come right to me. It must be so even now. Go, Lord Krishna, go and see your father and your dear mother. They haven't seen you for a long time. So much has happened since they saw you last."
He embraced Krishna and gave him permission to go back to Dwarka. Krishna's chariot, driven by Daruka, was at the doorway of the palace. The leave-taking was very tender. Satyaki was sobbing with emotion when he took leave of the Pandavas. They had gone through so much together. Bhima was standing there, unable to speak. He would be so lonely after the departure of Lord Krishna and Satyaki, his friend. Sri Krishna took leave of all of them. He prostrated before Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti, Vidura, Yudhisthira, and Bhima. They blessed him. Draupadi bade him farewell. The chariot was waiting. With great unwillingness, Lord Sri Krishna ascended the chariot, followed by Satyaki. They all stood there watching the chariot until it disappeared from their sight. Wiping their eyes, they went into their palace. The sage Vyas was a frequent visitor in the court of Yudhisthira. He came again and was honored. He knew that the king had still not gotten over his grief. He said,
"It will be a very great achievement, Yudhisthira, if you perform the sacrifice called the Ashwamedha, the horse sacrifice. It will make you happy, and it is the proper thing for a monarch to do."
He told the Pandavas that it was not an easy thing, since it needed immense wealth, but they could get it from the Himalayan mountains. The Maruts had buried their treasure under the slopes of that great mountain. Yudhisthira was very pleased with the suggestion of the wise Vyas. He found that his brothers, too, welcomed the suggestion with enthusiasm. Bhima was particularly happy, since he has found his brothers enthusiastic about something. He was tired of seeing the incessant mourning of Yudhisthira. As for Arjuna, he was thrilled at the thought of fighting once again. He offered to go round the world, leading the sacrificial horse. He would conquer all the kings who would dare to oppose him. Pandava sent word to Lord Krishna that they were all going towards the Himalayas with the purpose of collecting the untold wealth of the Maruts, that the king was going to perform the Ashwamedha according to the suggestion of the sage Vyas. They requested Lord Krishna and his brother Balaram and all the Vrishnis of their house to go to Hastinapur as early as they could. The kingdom was left in the hands of Yuyutsu, and Yudhisthira set out with great happiness. He loved the Himalayan mountains, and his heart was light. Vyas was wise in his suggestion. This new plan was keeping the king occupied. He had something to do, and he had no time to brood. They went to their beloved Himalayas and spent some time there. They collected the wealth of the Maruts and began to return their journey.
The entire host of the Vrishnis had reached Hastinapur to attend the horse sacrifice of Yudhisthira. They came even before the Pandavas had returned from the north. The main reason for this early arrival was this. Uttara's child was to be born any moment now. Krishna knew that it would not be alive when it came. He had taken an oath that he would give it life in spite of its being burnt by the great Brahmastra. Krishna had come early to give life to that child, the heir to the throne of the Pandavas.
They spent a few happy days there, and the great day came. Uttara had given birth to a child which had no life. Knowing this by instinct, Lord Sri Krishna, accompanied by Satyaki, hurried to the chambers where Uttara was lying in bed. He met Kunti coming out of the room weeping and wailing. She saw Lord Krishna and said,
"Krishna, you have got to give life to the hope of the Pandavas. Your nephew's child has got to live. You are my only hope. Come with me and see that child which wants to live but cannot, since Aswatthama has not allowed it to live."
Lord Krishna raised up the weeping queen and said,
"Don't fear. I have promised that I will make the child of Abhimanyu live. So I will do it even if I have to spend all the piety that I have acquired all these days."
Lord Krishna entered the chambers of Uttara. They were all there, Draupadi and Subhadra and all the women of the royal household. Uttara saw him and rushed to him and fell at his feet. She fainted immediately. They raised her up and placed her on a couch nearby. Lord Krishna saw the tiny body of the newborn child. It was lifeless. His heart was swelling with affection for this bit of flesh, which was all that was left of his beloved Abhimanyu. It had to be revived. Yes, it had to be. Lord Krishna's face was now stern. His smile had vanished. No one could recognize this Lord Krishna. They were looking at him with their eyes wide open with amazement. He looked as though he did not belong to this world. He was far away. Suddenly, Krishna took the little child in his hands. It was limp as a lotus hurt by the snow. Lord Krishna took it in his own lotus hands. He passed his divine hands along the body of the child. His fingers traveled from the head to the little toes of the child. At the touch of his blessed hands, the child became alive, and it began to cry lustily. It had been granted life. The palace became a temple of joy. The entire kingdom was celebrating the birth of the heir to the throne of the Pandavas. A month passed. The child of Abhimanyu was given the name Parikit. The days were spent in celebrating the event. Even Subhadra was able to forget her pain when she saw the son of her own son, Abhimanyu. They heard that Yudhisthira was returning from the north. Lord Krishna and the others went to meet them halfway. The entire party entered the city with great enthusiasm. The sage Vyas came, and the preparations were begun for the Ashwamedha sacrifice. The king saw the newborn child of Abhimanyu, and his sorrow was all gone at the sight of this child. It was amusing to see Bhima carrying the small child in his huge hands. He was very fond of their grandson. Yudhisthira came to Lord Krishna and said,
Lord Krishna, please listen to my words. I have a request to make. I think that you should perform this sacrifice. After all, it was you who won this kingdom for us, and it is but right that you should perform the horse sacrifice.
Krishna smiled gratefully at Yudhisthira and said,
You are the ruler of the kingdom. You are the Lord and Master for all of us. It is but right that the horse sacrifice should be performed by a king descending from the lunar race. It's all in the tradition of the kings of this house. Your dear grandfather has said that you will be like Nahusha and Harishchand. I will be greatly honored if I am allowed to serve you as one of your vassals. I am proud of you, my lord. I am a very happy man. I am seeing all my dreams come true, one after another. They all come true, my lord, if only one has the patience for it.
Krishna was feeling happy to see the king had thrown off his sorrow and was glowing like the sun after it had come out of an eclipse. He could see that Yudhisthira was really, truly happy.
Arjuna was sent in all four directions with the sacrificial horse. He went in all the four directions, and all of his conquests were easy. He was not opposed in many of the countries. In the places where he was opposed, it was not hard for him to defeat the kings and collect tribute from them. He invited all the kings to attend the horse sacrifice and return to Hastinapur with the white sacrificial horse.
Bhima and Nakula, along with Sahadev, were in charge of all the social arrangements. Then began the preparations for the sacrifice. It was just like the great Rajasuya, which Yudhisthira had performed years back. The Pandavas and Lord Krishna, with the heroes of the Vrishni house, were there. But all the other kings were the children or the nephews of the kings who had attended the Rajasuya. The Ashwamedha Yajna was over. All the kings returned to their kingdoms after they had been honored by Yudhisthira. Lord Krishna and Balaram, with Satyaki and the other Vrishni heroes, returned to their capital, Dwarka. Fifteen years had now passed. The rule of Yudhisthira was that of an ideal king and an ideal man. Hastinapur was ruled by the ablest of men, and the people were happy. Dhritarashtra, however, could not be happy. He knew that Yudhisthira was treating him as a king and as a father, that he was the most affectionate person he had ever met. But the heart of the old man was thinking only of his son, Duryodhan. He could not forget his favorite child. He was with Yudhisthira for 15 years, and now suddenly he wanted to go away to the forest. He discussed it with his wife Gandhari. They were both of the same thinking. Dhritarashtra wanted to go away from the city where his son ruled once. He summoned Yudhisthira to his presence and told him about his wish. King Yudhisthira was very unhappy when he heard this, and hurt by the attitude of his uncle. He tried to dissuade him, but the old man was adamant. Yudhisthira persisted in his pleading, but it was of no avail. Vyas came and told Yudhisthira that he should allow the old king to go to the forest, for it was the custom for kings to go away to the forest, renouncing worldly desires, and it was the proper thing to do. Very unwillingly, Yudhisthira allowed Dhritarashtra and Gandhari to go to the forest. And a new shock was awaiting Yudhisthira. His mother Kunti told him that she was also set on going with the other two.
Yudhisthira did not know what to do or what to say. He was terribly upset by the declaration of his mother. All the sons and Draupadi and Subhadra and little Uttara tried to make her change her mind, but she was firm. She said that she had to do expiation for the sin she committed towards her child Karna. She was very firm about it. They had to allow her to go. Vidura and Sanjaya accompanied them. The next morning, Dhritarashtra, accompanied by Gandhari, Kunti, Viduri, Sanjaya, set out for the forest, mourned by all the citizens of Hastinapura. The Pandavas were not happy at the thought of their going. They sadly bade farewell to all of them and returned to their empty palace. This parting from their mother was too much for them to bear. Dhritarashtra was first headed towards the banks of the Ganges, and from there he went to the ashram of Vyasadeva. He stayed there, trying to assuage the grief in his and the two ladies' hearts by listening to the words of the saints there.
Yudhishthira could not bear the parting from his mother. Sahadev was feeling it also. One day they suddenly decided to go to the forest and visit their mother and Dhritarashtra with Gandhari. It was a very pleasant journey, and soon they reached the ashram where they were all staying. They were returning from the banks of the river when the Pandavas went there. Sahadev rushed up to Kunti and fell at her feet. She was very happy to see her favorite child. All of them were seated inside the ashram. They were not able to speak for a while. Later they spoke of all that had happened during the absence of the elders from the city. Suddenly, Yudhishthira looked around and said,
"Where is Uncle? Where has Vidura gone?"
They told him that Vidura was mortifying himself and was living on just air. They said that he was in the heart of the forest and would come only very rarely. Someone saw him from a distance just then. They showed him to Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira went towards the spot where Vidura was. He was not the old Vidura. His body was simply a bundle of bones, and he was almost dying. But his eyes were glowing with a strange intensity. Yudhishthira went to him and spoke.
"I am Yudhishthira, my lord. Speak to me."
It was obvious that Vidura could not speak. He stood leaning against a tree. Yudhishthira found himself compelled to look straight into the eyes of Vidura. Vidura's eyes burned into those of Yudhishthira. The four eyes were locked in this gaze for a good while. Yudhishthira was not able to withdraw his gaze. A strange thing happened. Yudhishthira felt himself to be growing stronger and wiser. He found himself to be different. He felt that he was more like Vidura than Yudhishthira. He looked at Vidura and found that he was dead. He realized that Vidura's wisdom had entered his body and had abandoned his own. He wanted the body of Vidura to be cremated. He heard the voice of Dharma from the heavens saying,
"Vidura was the incarnation of Dharma, even as you are. When he died, his wisdom entered your body. You have part of Vidura in you now. As for his body, do not do anything to it. You must not cremate it. Leave it as it is and go and join your brothers."
Yudhishthira went back to the presence of Dhritarashtra and he told them all about this strange experience. They spent a few days with the elder members of the family, and then it was time, and they were asked to return to Hastinapur. The parting from their mother was very difficult for them. Kunti embraced all of them and told her eldest son,
"My son, we may not meet again. Take care of my child Sahadev. I have always loved him most, though he is old enough. Still, I feel that he is a child. Take care of yourself and all the others. Rule the kingdom well. I bless you all."
They parted in tears, and the procession wended its way to Hastinapur once more. Two years later, the sage Narada came to Hastinapur. He was received with great honor. It was known to Yudhisthira that the visit of the sage Narada meant that he had something important to tell him. All the brothers were there, and Narada said,
Yudhisthira, you are right in your guess. I have news of grave import to you. I'm sorry to say that your uncle Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, and your mother Kunti were returning to their hermitage from the river. Sanjaya was with them. They were weak and ill with the severe penance they had been performing. It so happened that a fire had begun to burn the forest where they were staying. They saw the fire and made no attempt to escape from it. They saw it as an heaven-sent opportunity to leave their bodies. The king made Sanjaya leave them before the fire made it impossible for him to escape. Sanjaya tried to protest, but the king insisted, and so Sanjaya went away from there to the Himalayas to spend the rest of his lifetime there. These three allowed themselves to be burned by the forest fire. I am sorry to be the messenger of this bad news.
King Yudhisthira immediately fainted away, and Sahadev wept like a child. Bhima was inconsolable. Their mother was dead. They could not grasp it at all, but they had to. It was not easy for the sons of Kunti to think of themselves as orphans. Their dear mother was dead. Kunti, who was the one person who went through numberless sufferings for their sake, was now dead. Narada tried to comfort them. Vyas came, and he also tried to make them face the sorrow with fortitude. It was not possible. It took them months and years to forget the sorrow caused by the death of their dear mother. But time is a great healer. The Pandavas were once more able to concentrate on other things. They were able to devote themselves to the ruling of the kingdom. Parikshit was their source of comfort. The beautiful son of Abhimanyu was able to dispel their pain and sorrow.
You've been listening to Stories from the Mahabharata, the celebrated history of Greater India. Compiled by the great sage Vyas many thousands of years ago, Mahabharata is written in the Sanskrit language in verse form and is here adapted for radio and brought to you by Radio Krishna. Tune in again for our next presentation of Stories from the Mahabharata.